United States.
Brandon Johnson. No Promised Land. Chicago's leftist mayor struggles to make his mark.
There are not many cities in the world where the local government puts on a house music festival, and even fewer where it would be as delightful as the one held in Chicago over the first weekend of June. On a sunny Sunday, people of all races and ages filed into Millennium Park downtown, many clutching blankets, coolers, and camp chairs. One attendee, however, was clearly not welcome. At sunset, the headliner, Farley Jackmaster Funk, a storied Chicago DJ, invited on a special guest. As Brandon Johnson, the mayor, jogged onto the stage, a chorus of boos rang out. Within 45 seconds, he had left, his seemingly truncated message that Chicago is the greatest frickin' city in the world, not enough to silence the din of dissent. Booing politicians is a tradition in the Windy City. Savvier ones know the best time to appear is early, before the crowd starts drinking. Yet Mr. Johnson, who won a surprising election victory last year, is already unusually unpopular. According to a poll conducted in late April, a year after his election, just 9% of Chicago residents consider him to be doing an above-average job. A majority say his work is below average. Even among non-white voters, his base, below-average ratings outnumber above-average ones by 4-1. The mayor's unpopularity is a lesson to insurgent politicians everywhere. You may think that, as with house music, you can't go wrong, but if you claim to be leading people to the promised land, reality will eventually percolate in. At the next election, don't be surprised if the voters tell you to move your body out of office. Mr. Johnson's election was a shock. A black former schoolteacher, his only previous elected job was as a county commissioner. With the help of the teachers' union, in the first round, he managed to push the incumbent mayor, Lori Lightfoot, into third place. In the runoff, he consolidated the black vote while winning enough white liberals to defeat Paul Vallis, a well-funded conservative Democrat whose support came from business and the police union. In doing so, he became one of the most prominent elected politicians in America from the far left of the Democratic Party. Mr. Johnson has defied the worst fears his opponents stoked. "We're going to see an exodus like we've never seen before," imagined John Catanzara, the boss of the police union, last year. There would, he predicted, be blood on the streets. In fact, the mayor appointed an old-school cop as his police superintendent, and the murder rate so far this year is down by 15% on the same period in 2023. It is a similar story with the economy. They're continuing, very quietly, policies that previous administrations put in place, says one of Ms. Lightfoot's former officials. Property developers are among those offering cautious praise. The trouble is the mayor promised more than continuity, and his more radical ideas are failing. A referendum to increase the tax on property purchases to pay for homelessness support was defeated in March. Another idea, to introduce a financial transactions tax in the city, was slapped down by J.B. Pritzker, Illinois' Democratic governor, who said that he would veto any such tax. On May 29th, state lawmakers finalized the annual state budget. It did not include any of the $1.1 billion in extra education spending for Chicago that the mayor claims the city is owed. There was some money to help cover the costs of housing asylum seekers, but not as much as the city will have to spend. And big problems are looming. This month, the Chicago teachers' contract expires. Mr. Johnson will have to negotiate a new one with his former employer without any cash. The teachers want raises of 9% a year and a big expansion in hiring, but with federal COVID relief money running out, the system is already projecting a $391 million deficit for the school year starting in September. Instead of tackling that, Mr. Johnson has got into fights over how to allocate existing resources. Last month, he had to promise state legislators that he would not close Chicago's selective schools, which are popular with wealthier white parents, so as to stop them passing a law that would ban him from doing so. Parents worry he is already diverting teachers from the most popular schools to ones that have been losing pupils for decades. A similar challenge is the dysfunctional Chicago Transit Authority, or CTA. In part, thanks to a tricky union contract, it has failed to hire enough bus or train drivers to replace ones who retired or took other jobs during the pandemic. Service has been cut, and a state bailout will be necessary to prevent collapse. Yet Mr. Johnson has alienated those who will have to provide it. He has resisted calls to sack Dorval Carter, the CTA's head. Mr. Carter says he is being criticised only because of his race, though many of his critics are also black. The mayor tried to appoint two allies, both pastors, from his neighbourhood to transit authority boards, despite their manifest lack of interest in trains or buses. One proved so clueless about transit in his grilling by the city council that he withdrew his candidacy. Mr. Johnson's spokesman says experience comes in different forms. The mayor himself projects a serene sort of confidence. He repeatedly argues that he is in fact fulfilling all of his promises. At an event to announce that he is reopening city mental health clinics, a campaign promise he has indeed made good on, he asked reporters, "Aren't you glad that we don't have a raggedy administration?" The next few years will show if he is right. Don't bet the house.